and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. This is Mike Carbath with my partners Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. I'm pleased to be back. For you regular listeners, you know that I've been out on holiday for the last few podcasts, and it's awesome to be back in the saddle, getting back to work so I can get a little rest and join my esteemed partners with today's topic. So, well, gentlemen, welcome.
It's awesome to have you back, Mike. It's been Ryan and I, hopefully we didn't play too much when you were gone, but, you know, the mice will play when the cat's away. We had a couple of great discussions, including a real highlight in having the opportunity to chat with one of our valued clients. Saw that podcast just went out recently, and excited about today's topic. It's not one that that everybody thinks about a whole bunch, but it is super important, especially in the context of partnerships. And speaking of partners, hey Ryan, what's going on?
Hey guys, great to have you back, Mike. I think Matt was getting used to playing lead singer compared to color guitar here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, great to have us back here, and great to have us digging in here on a topic. Today we're really talking about, a lot of our clients that we work with come from founding their business in the 90s or early 2000s, and they've been in it for a very long time. And you've been building a business and working in it, sometimes wearing multiple hats all the time, and it comes to a point where you've got to consider your options for the future. And whether that might be retirement or moving on to something else, it's a big topic. So today we want to dig in and understand that, are there some options to do with your business, and how do you protect some of that legacy and such? So, Mike, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of conversations lately around, people that are either approaching retirement or making a decision to retire, or maybe they're looking to exit the business to do something else, or take a sabbatical. There's a common theme in those conversations, which is, when do you know the time is right? Like, when do you think about, the inflection point of, seeing your own mortality, if you're sort of in the, sunset years, or the later in your career, or when do you know when it's time to move on and how best to do that? And, there's just a lot of different motivations for people to think about when they think it's time to exit the business. When they, maybe it's a very personal decision. It's something that, people think about for a long time. And I guess in our industry of, tech-enabled services companies, I guess I haven't ever talked to an owner, and maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but there's very few owners that I've talked to that didn't start their business with the thought that someday they may want to exit and sell it or retire. It's certainly on their mind from the day they started. And I think, this discussion today is really about, when do you know the time is right, and how do you best plan the best vehicle? Because there's so many ways and approaches and vehicles for you to either exit or retire that may or may not include selling the business in its entirety. And how do you gather the intel and information to help you make a decision? So with that, Matt, I'll turn it over for some perspective.
Yeah, we've reflected on this topic, maybe not solely focused on it, but oftentimes in the podcast. And we talked about this, recently, that three-step decision, right? Start by making it easy. Are you emotionally ready? Is there another chapter in front of you, whatever that chapter may be that and you're ready to see yourselves turning that page and getting into that chapter? Two, There's the financial component. Are you realizing the appropriate enterprise value or your expected enterprise value? How much of that is today? How much of that is into the future? Does it matter? Right? Et cetera, et cetera. And then three, you know, is not as much of a deal, but you know, we move to that third piece of, are you selling in or selling out? And if you're selling in, then who you're selling into makes a whole bunch of difference. But for the context of this discussion, we're really talking about selling out. And so, you know, I think that the next thing to sort of think about to further the discussion is, what are the other aspects that are, you know, in consideration, i.e., are you a partner? Are you a sole owner in the, right? If you're a partner in the business, then all of a sudden, you know, there's some additional complexity that is brought into the scenario of when are you ready versus when are all the partners ready within the business? So I think that, kind of putting all that into the mix of the discussion, and also introducing the fact that, you know, there's the facts, right? And then there's the emotion and the personal aspect of this. And those, you know, sometimes those things aren't easy to bring together and to justify. And so, working with people who've done that before and know how to guide and work through both the emotions as well as the facts, right, I think is super important.
I think you put some options out here. So if we're thinking about, let's just consider the next chapter, and we are going to move on. I mean, some of the options could be as simple as you could just you could simply fold up the business. And I would say that with most of the companies that we are dealing with today and that built very healthy revenue and profit streams, I would say that there are a lot of alternatives outside of just folding up the business.
That is an option, Ryan. Probably a worst case scenario, right? But an option nonetheless.
Yeah. So I would think that even if you have a company that has perhaps been under distress, or it's maybe not seeing the growth potential that you fully think it is, it's a moment in which, to your point, Matt, that could be the last course of options for you. You could look for further investment. I think this gets to your point, Matt, where selling in or selling out becomes a major goal. And if retirement's on the board, I think you if you're selling in, deal structures are oftentimes tied to the success of the future state of the company. There could be an option for a partner buyout, and there could be that's an option of your partner perhaps even over time buying the business from you. There could be seller notes involved, and there can be other alternative financial instruments that allow that. You could even look at transitioning the whole company to an ESOP. There are many options here. So if you are considering this phase, don't think it's just one path that you have to go down. There are a lot of different ways that you can take it. Mike, maybe I'll just ask you this. If you're starting to think of this, what are some first things that you should start thinking of or start doing?
Well, I think, you know, certainly there's plenty of owners that have a lot of, you know, they're very concerned about their team, right? Their staff that they've built. And they don't want to be perceived as that they're selling out or that they're leaving the team kind of high and dry. Their reputation is so important to them that they don't want to, they just don't want that, right? And I think, you know, as an owner, you've got to be thinking about that emotion and feelings and in many ways that, you know, reality, because I think how you approach a deal, how you think about what a deal would be to get to the next phase of your life, whether that's, you know, going on to do some other business or, you know, doing things that maybe are more lifestyle oriented. We've certainly worked with people in the last year that wanted to exit to, you know, go hike the world's peaks, for example, or do other things. And so, you know, coming to that conclusion, but also getting your head around placing the business in good hands, and or structuring a deal so that there is, you know, very favorable continuity for the, you know, clients and staff is of paramount concern. And I think understanding the full suite of your options, and getting perspective from, not only your peers and friends and, you know, maybe people you know, but who have gone through sort of a transition or an exit, but also from, you know, folks that are doing deals every day, is a critical step, in at least getting your head around, you know, what might be the best vehicle, because there is a huge number of options in order to transition out of the business as a founder or a leader, that probably should be on the table to consider. And we don't always see all of them as a leader, an owner or a leader in a business, clearly, without some outside perspective. So I certainly think gleaning that outside perspective from people that structure these deals, you know, is pretty critical in helping you kind of come to a conclusion of, you know, is now the right time? And if so, how so?
I'd love to key in on one area you mentioned on just people and getting the right people in line. I think it's critical that owners understand that buyers really are going to look for continuity in that leadership, and looking for how you've been able to remove yourself from the business. Matt, have you seen any good best practices around proving that continuity and how owners can show you've got a continuing asset?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously, you know, formally all about succession planning. I think that one of the key areas that founders and owners need to recognize that is that if they are tied too closely to that customer acquisition as well as customer management, that makes it difficult to remove yourself quickly, you know, from the business. And so that's one of the key areas to look at. Then looking at sort of, and the customer acquisition and customer management also really does speak to the ongoing health of the delivery and quality of the delivery of services within the business. So, you know, those two things kind of go together. Then, you know, looking at kind of the operational internal ops aspect of what does a founder or part of a group of founders do, and ensuring that it's not just lip service, but that others have stepped in to lead the day-to-day internal ops, right, aspect. And then there's the financials, which quite honestly, are sort of the least important of the things that, you know, owners and or partners need to give up, because it's the most easily transferable aspect of the business. So, you know, that's kind of the way that we see things, you know, on an ongoing basis, that and oftentimes we're guiding firms years in advance of, you know, their intended sort of time frame, to ensure that those pieces are established and there's a track record behind the, you know, sort of the relinquishment of responsibility. And shoot, you know, two of our existing, you know, sell side programs, that is exactly, you know, what our clients did, the owners, did within the business. And quite honestly, it was a multi-year period that enabled them to get there.
I'll say, it does take a bit, and it takes planning and it takes execution, throughout this, to make sure that you've got everything in line. And I think it's something that you may, if you're considering selling, it's not something you wake up and do overnight. And it's something that you will take a bit of time. Part of that can be, looking at your numbers and how you're putting them together. And perhaps moving a few dials around to help increase profit, perhaps compared to revenue growth, or perhaps increasing your vertical market expertise so you're more attractive to a buyer. There are some things that you can do, I would say, that are 2-3 years out that you may want to consider that can help bring the profitability of the firm, composition of your revenue up, get your financials in order, get your organic plan just really doing well, and really help you look more attractive in that process as well. On the financial side, and Mike, you know, one of the big questions you mentioned earlier is getting to a financial number. What should an owner do to understand what their business is worth?
Well, I think it's important, you know, just to make a comment on the last sort of thought, you know, you do want to work your way out of the job is what we often say. And, you know, part of that goes hand in hand with, you know, understanding your firm's worth or value, pursuant to it not having you be involved in the day to day or even, you know, ongoing operation. And that transition typically happens slowly, but to answer the question more directly, or comment on it more directly, Ryan, you certainly need an outside valuator to look at the business. And I think be objective about the recommendations that are needed to optimize value. Oftentimes, you know, owners will, you know, and we've talked a lot about this in our podcast series over the years, but they'll run things through the business or operate the business in a way that's convenient for them as owners or maybe tax efficient, but may not make it as easy to transition the business to new ownership. And so being able to be smart about, you know, what are those kind of how you're running the business vis-a-vis your own ownership, how the financials and the chart of accounts are organized, and then more importantly, understanding the true value of the business and making sure that's in alignment with expectations of, you know, your expectations as pursuant to an exit or some sort of ownership transition, whether that be a partner buyout or whether that be, you know, some other structured deal, or maybe an ESOP transition or, you know, whatever that might be, is pretty important. So I think there's some, you know, outside advice and counsel is probably required to think about, you know, are we organized from a financial perspective the right way? And are we optimized for, you know, the business transition beyond the value consideration? Because certainly those things can be very different. And, you know, it needs attention and time in order to get those things lined up. One, to make your business more attractive to, or open more options for you, if you will, for that transition, but also to optimize value, as you begin to think about, you know, making this move.
Well, Mike, also, I mean, you know, we've talked a whole bunch that doing an ongoing valuation of the business is just a good practice, right? It's a good benchmark of where you're at. But you've had some discussions here recently where, you know, there's a partnership in place. You know, one partner sees a path, you know, multi-year path. I think it was somewhere between 3 and 5 years. The other partner's younger, you know, doesn't see a 3 to 5 year path, right? And so the need for, you know, setting a baseline of evaluation and then having a consistent, you know, plan in place to do that valuation in the same way, right, is super important in that particular scenario, right? And it allows for a basis of fact, if you will, to then make it easier to sort of manage the process and manage the emotions of one partner getting out before another.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, some would argue oftentimes, you know, it's a best practice too, as it relates to continuity planning, you know, to even get evaluation annually, just to understand what, you know, that value is. Usually for most of our owners, you know, clients that are owners, you know, their business is their single largest asset. And so, you know, valuing it and understanding the fluctuations of value, not only marketplace dynamics, but also in how they're operating the business and what impacts those have over time is super valuable. And if you're looking at a partner buyout in particular, that's pretty critical, because you want to be able to understand, you know, is there value accretion there? How is that reflected in the buyout? You know, how does that impact the existing partners? You know, there's just a lot of variables there. Again, I think that's where, you know, a good M&A advisor can provide you food for thought on, you know, a fair way to structure that. That's win-win and can certainly, you know, facilitate a smooth transition, you know, begin to think about, you know, how do we have transparency into our value versus just worrying about it at a triggering event or at a time now when, you know, hey, you're contemplating a transaction, so you go get a value. You know, I think some of the best run firms that we work with and have over the years do annual valuations as just a standard operating procedure. You know, certainly a place to start to think about what your options are and when.
Yeah, and I not to plug Revenue Rocket too much here, but we do have a number of resources to help think about this. One of them is if you go to revenuerocket.com/valuation-calculator, you'll be able to get a pretty decent range of what your firm is worth. Again, always assuming that you're in the IT services market. That's everything we do is really focused on that market. So, but it gives you a good idea of where to start. Another resource that we have is we've got a white paper really focused on the 10 questions you should ask yourself if you're selling your, this is really focused for MSPs, but I think a lot of technology companies follow the same as a managed service provider. So a couple of resources are available over at revenuerocket.com. And in any time, if you want to hop on the phone, we're happy to individually talk to you as well and hear your story and walk you through some of those options that you may have as you consider part of your sale. So with that, Matt, I'll turn it over to you for any closing thoughts and kick it back over to Mike.
You know, I guess the closing thought that I'd have is this is one of the more important things that many of our clients do in their lifetimes, at least financially. It can also be one of the biggest changes of a chapter, right? So, you know, two things is, you know, planning time is appropriate, right? Being reactive or, you know, kind of waking up one day and saying, okay, now's the time and let's get it done, usually doesn't lead to the best results. And the second thing is, you know, have a good team behind you, right? Because it A, just makes it a lot easier, and B, you have a much greater chance of getting what you want, both financially as well as personally. So I think those are sort of some of the key themes. And, you know, to Ryan's point, we love having these discussions, because there's nothing greater that we get to do than, you know, help our clients, and who many of which have become friends, have great outcomes. So great discussion, guys. Mike, what do we do?
Well, it's time to tie the proverbial ribbon on it for this week's podcast. Thanks, guys, for interesting and relevant discussion that I know many of our listeners are thinking about. And I encourage you all to tune in next week when we'll unpack and discuss other topics of relevance for tech-enabled services companies around growth strategy and M&A. Thanks, guys. Make it a great week.